Thank you very much, Dr. Irvin, for that introduction, and welcome everyone. I'm glad you were able to make it here today. So what we'll go through in this presentation, we'll do an introduction, give some background information on the warm season putting green species that we'd like to use in the transition zone. We'll talk about a study working on freeze tolerance of those species. Second study, a field study looking at the impact of late season nitrogen applications and PGRs on those varieties, and then we'll give some conclusions that we found in this research. So as many of us have experienced, creeping bentgrass is not particularly well adapted to the transition zone. Daytime high temperatures in the summer in the transition zone often exceed those that are in the optimal growth range for creeping bentgrass. Creeping bentgrass also has a lower photosynthetic efficiency than C4 plants and experiences increased disease pressure in the summertime. This photo is of a creeping bentgrass putting green in the transition zone that shows us the low quality and how we can how our quality does suffer sometimes in those stressful conditions. So some warm season alternatives that are appearing for putting green use in the transition zone are ultra dwarf Bermuda grasses. Those have gained recent popularity and they employ the C4 photosynthetic pathway, so they have greater heat and drought tolerance than C3 grasses, and they have greater photosynthetic efficiency. Their optimal growth temperatures also more closely match the temperatures that we see for daytime highs in the summertime in the transition zone. As well, their fine texture and high shoot density make them great putting surfaces. But the ultra dwarf Bermuda grasses don't have a monopoly on the market. Seashore pass pelham is also something that can be used as a putting surface. Varieties like Salam, Supreme, and Sea Dwarf have very high shoot densities, are fine textured, and have excellent salinity tolerance. As well, Diamond Zoysia grass is very fine textured, has a low nitrogen fertility requirement, and does have some salinity tolerance. However, in the transition zone, early dormancy and just the brown color, the off color of dormant turf can be an issue, as well as the cold winters in the transition zone. And little is known about the relative freeze tolerance of each one of these species maintained under putting green conditions. As far as color, fall nitrogen applications have been shown to prolong green turf color in fairway mown warm season cultivars and Bermuda grasses, but the impact of fall nitrogen fertility is not really known for ultra dwarf Bermuda grasses. Thus, our objectives in the first study are to evaluate the freeze tolerance of four warm season putting green turfs. They are Champion and Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass, Sea Dwarf, Seashore Paspalum, and Diamond Zoysia grass. In the second study in the field, we sought to assess the impacts of late season nitrogen applications and Trinexapac ethyl applications on fall color retention and spring green up of those same varieties. So our first study, freeze tolerance. Champion, Tiff Eagle, Sea Dwarf, and Diamond were grown in containers in the greenhouse for 4 weeks, and they were maintained at a 5 millimeter height of cut. We then took those after that 4 week period, took all those containers and placed them into a cold chamber to acclimate them at 8 degrees C, 2 degrees on a 2 degrees C on a day-night cycle, with a 10-hour photo period, and the acclimation period lasted for 4 weeks. At the end of that 4 week acclimation period, we simulated a cold wintertime transition zone night with that -3 C temperature for 15 hours. And then we stepped down that temperature 1 degree C every hour until we hit -20 C. At each hour, each temperature from -3 to -20, six containers of each species and variety were removed and placed in the greenhouse. Over the next 4 weeks, those were monitored for percent regrowth in the 0 to 100 scale, and this was repeated 4 times. We then took that regrowth data and fit that to sigmoidal curves using the nonlinear procedure in SAS to determine LT50 values. And the LT50 is the temperature at which 50% of the test population did not survive. Once we found those LT50 values, we used PROC ANOVA to separate those LT50 means. For the sake of time today, we'll just present the PROCONOVA data. And to set this slide up, these are the PROCONOVA data, the freeze tolerance results, with LT50 and degree C on the y-axis, and the variety and species on the x-axis. We can see that our diamond zoysia grass was more cold tolerant, or I guess more freeze tolerant, I should say, lower LT50 temperature than the sea dwarf seashore passpalm. The diamond also had a lower LT50 value than the champion Bermuda grass, but was not different than the Tiff Eagle. And of course, the two Bermuda grasses did perform similar. So to sum that up, our diamond zoysia grass was freeze tolerant to minus 11 C. Champion and Tiff Eagle did not really differ in their freeze tolerance, but Sea Dwarf and Champion were the least freeze tolerant of these four turfs. So now to move out to the field for our late season nitrogen and trinexapac ethyl applications. Champion, Tiff Eagle, Diamond, and Sea Dwarf again were sodded in 3x3 meter plots on a California spec green in East Tennessee in 2008. Two levels of trinexapac ethyl were applied at 5.4 grams AI per hectare monthly through the growing season, or trinexapac ethyl was just not even applied at all. And then our late season nitrogen applications were done as final nitrogen applications for the season, and those were made at August 15th, September 15th, and October 15th. The Bermuda grasses and the passpalum received 24.4 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare on those dates, but they all received 292 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare yearly. The zoysia grass, the diamond zoysia grass, received 16.3 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare on those three final application dates, and 146 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare for the year. So we arranged these plots as a two-factor factorial with split plot applications. Essentially, the four species and two trinexapac ethyl treatments were arranged in as a two-factor factorial, and then those plots were split with the three final nitrogen application dates. We collected uncompressed thatch depth data from five samples collected randomly from each plot at the beginning, middle, and end of the season. Collected color and percent green turf cover data in fall 2008 and spring 2009. Those were rated visually, the color on a 1 to 9 scale, and the green turf cover was on the 0 to 100 scale. Additionally, during the spring green up, spring dead spot rating of the Bermuda grass cultivars was taken as a visual rating percent of the plot area that was affected. For the sake of time today, we'll just go over the percent green turf cover data for the fall 2008 and spring of 2009. To explain a little bit of what's going on, what we saw with our ANOVA table, our main effects, species, and nitrogen timings did have significant impacts on turf grass cover in 2008 and 2009, as well as their interaction. But trinexapac ethyl did not have a significant effect on green percent green turf cover in 2008 or 2009, which is why we'll be reporting the interaction of the species and nitrogen timing. So to set this chart up for you, this is our percent green turf cover on champion Bermuda grass as influenced by the final nitrogen application date. We have our percent green turf grass cover on the y-axis, and on the x we have our rating date. We see at the bottom we have a black bar toward the left-hand side that signifies the date at which our August 15th application was made. The blue bar signifies the date at which the September 15th application was made, and the green bar represents the October 15th application. We see around the 19th of November we start to see some color decline. But it does pick back up for the October 15th application, and then toward the end of the season, getting into late October, early November, we see that we have more green turf grass cover from the October 15th application date than we have from either the September 15th or the August 15th. Very very similar slide here, same type of graph, just with Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass. And we see that the same characteristic V, the same characteristic dip, right around middle and late September, that we saw with champion Bermuda grass, and also toward the end of the season, our October 15th nitrogen application gave us a greater amount of green turf cover going into the fall. However, on Sea Dwarf, Seashore, Paspalum, we don't see that characteristic dip in the in September. We held our green cover longer into the fall, but just like the Bermuda grasses, we did still see an impact from the October 15th application date. Diamond Zoysia grass, much like Seashore Paspalum, did not experience the characteristic dip that we saw from our Bermuda grass cultivars. And the late nitrogen application date did not give us much of a significant impact toward the later end of the fall. This busy slide just shows us the same four slides that we saw previously. And we can see in our Bermuda grass cultivars, the Champion and the Tiff Eagle at the top, we have the very characteristic dip in September. And we have more green turf grass cover with our October 15th nitrogen application date than we do with any of the others. This picture just illustrates what we saw in the field with our Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass. Our center plot is our October 15th application date, the photo taken on November 14th. And we see we have a greater amount of green turf grass cover on November 14th from our later application dates. Champion Bermuda grass responded much the same way. We have more green turf grass cover from our October 15th application than we do from September 15th. And more in September than we did in August. So now to go to spring for our green up. Again, we have percent green turf grass cover on the y-axis. We have our application date on the x-axis. And we had more green turf grass cover earlier in the season from our October 15th application than we did from either the September or the October application. Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass, much the same way, more green turf grass cover from the October 15th date than the September or the August 15th date. Sea Dwarf, Seashore Paspalum, again, we have the same story, more green turf grass cover earlier in the season from our later nitrogen application timing. Diamond Zoysia grass, though, likes to be the odd man out and did not really respond either way toward different nitrogen fertilization timings. So we're going to throw this busy slide up here again, show all four of those varieties, species, cultivars up there. And we can see that our October 15th application timing gave us more green turf grass cover earlier in the spring for Champion, Tiff Eagle, and Sea Dwarf. So our conclusions from study two are that later nitrogen applications prolong fall color for warm season putting greens. The effect was greater for the Bermuda grasses than it was for other species. Later nitrogen applications encouraged an earlier spring green up for everything except the Diamond Zoysia grass. And Trinexapac ethyl had no effect on the length of our green period. Our message to the practitioner then is that Diamond Zoysia grass is more freeze tolerant than Champion Bermuda grass and Sea Dwarf Seashore Paspalum, but about the same as the Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass. Later nitrogen applications will prolong turf color in the fall and encourage a green up in the spring, and Trinexapac ethyl had no effect on fall color or spring green up. I'd like to acknowledge the Tennessee Golf Course Superintendents Association, Tennessee Turfgrass Association, the East Tennessee Research and Education Center for all their help with everything, and my graduate committee for all their help and guidance. If we have any remaining time, I'd like to entertain some questions.
Time for two questions.
Yes. Let's see if we can go back to that slide. Our nitrogen rate was at, if I remember, 24.4 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare on those last dates. Every plot received 292 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare yearly. Those from August 15th through October 15th, apparently we're not moving quickly, all those last dates all had the same rate going through, and those were all fertilized on a biweekly basis. Does that answer your question?
So your late season application was 24.4 kilograms, right?
That's correct. One more, yes.
The source of the nitrogen and the formulation.
The nitrogen was delivered as granular ammonium nitrate.
Okay.
A 34-00? Yes, sir.
Really, when you look at your first test, that's really acute freezing. I mean, you went down one degree centigrade per hour. How fast did you get in there and open that door and plug those things out?
As absolute quickly as I could.
You're not supposed to leave the refrigerator door open. You know that.
That's what my mother said.
All right, let's thank John.
Thank you.